Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, June 14, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Donor aid recipients say Zimbabwean authorities are forcing them to work or pay for food handouts.
Disabled, the sick, the old aged are being asked to work for food. Yet those are the categories that were identified by this government that they must benefit due to their peculiar circumstances.
Zimbabweans express a dissatisfaction over the local government bill giving the minister too much power to fire councillors and city officials.
They simply deal with the issue of removing of chairpersons, councillors and mayors. And we know that in Harare there is the case of Manyenyen, and in Gweru there is the case of Komba and others, where the minister has acted unlawfully.
Zimbabwe prepares to commemorate International Day of the African Child.
This is actually a landmark day for us as we retrace the challenges that the child, especially the children in Zimbabwe, are facing.
And two former Zimbabwean ministers have died. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Widows, people living with disabilities, the elderly and orphans claim that they are being forced by state officials in Mutasa Central in Manicaland province to work for food set aside for them by the Minister of Social Welfare. They also claim that at times state officials demand $5 payments for the food aid donated by non-governmental organizations or other countries to alleviate hunger in most parts of Zimbabwe. Reporter Lloyd Amoyo visited some of the affected areas and filed this report.
The government has been receiving some food from non-governmental organizations in other nations following the declaration of a drought disaster in Zimbabwe a couple of months ago. At times, it uses taxpayers' money to source food from neighboring countries like Zambia. However, some villagers, especially the targeted recipients that include widows, orphans, senior citizens, and people living with disabilities, claim that they are not accessing the food aid. One of the affected villagers is Tindaisa Membere's 72-year-old mother, who is almost bedridden. Samembere says state officials are demanding that she should work for 5 hours for 15 days a month under the Food for Work program or pay $5 for a 50-kilogram bag of mealy meal.
It is true they are required to work for food for at least 5 hours and for 15 days if they dream of getting the maize. The fun part of it is that my mother is almost bedridden.
Like Samembere, most villagers strongly believe that they are working or paying for food that is supposed to be distributed for free to the elderly, orphans, people living with disabilities and widows. Watsomba villager Elisha Terera says it is disheartening to see the less privileged members of the society working for food.
Mtasa Central, Elisha Terera.
It is unfair to see people living with disabilities and others working for food. Why should we work for food yet the government stipulates that we should get it for free? We need not to work for it.
Terera says the government of Zimbabwe should take care of the elderly, orphans, widows and people living with disabilities. Manicaland Provincial Affairs Minister Mandi Chimene and the Provincial Administrator Fungai Mbetsa could not be reached for a comment as they were said to be busy attending to various meetings. But Mtasa Central member of the National Assembly, Trevor Sarwaka, says compelling such groups of people to work for food is unfortunate.
Disabled, the sick, the old aged are being asked to work for food. Yet those are the categories that were identified by this government that they must benefit due to their peculiar circumstances. So I want to put it on record that it's something that the Minister of Social Services must put a foot down. We cannot allow the old aged to be used on food for work programs.
At least 4 million people in Zimbabwe are facing hunger due to a devastating drought fueled by El Nino phenomenon. In Mutasa Central, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Some civic society leaders have criticized the parliament for not allowing adequate public consultations on the proposed local government laws amendment bill, which they say does not address important national issues such as devolution of power to provinces. Our correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
The criticism of both the public hearing process as well as the proposed bill came out during a stakeholders' consultative meeting in Bulawayo ahead of the public hearings on the proposed act, which began in the country yesterday. Several people who attended the meeting said the public hearings being held by the Portfolio Committee on Local Government, Rural and Urban Development are too few, and also hit out at the local government ministry for coming up with what they said was a half-baked bill. Lawyer Kutkakapulu, who was a facilitator at the consultative meeting, told Studio 7 that instead of dealing with comprehensive issues under the realm of local governance, the bill only deals with the issue of how to remove councillors, council chairpersons, and mayors from office. Pulu said the parliament's public consultation on the bill is far too inadequate, adding that he believes the bill is being fast-tracked in order to deal with the cases of the suspension of Gweru Mayor Mutendi Kombai and his Harare counterpart Bernard Manyenyeni.
They simply deal with the issue of removing of chairpersons, councillors and mayors. And we know that in Harare there is the case of Manyenyen, and in Gweru there is the case of Kombai and others, where the minister has acted unlawfully. And all they are doing is simply want to fast-track this act. That's why you see even the consultation is not sufficient. So they are fast-tracking this in order to deal with the current situation. It takes the people of Zimbabwe for granted.
Vice Chairperson Ntombizodwa Kumalo of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association said although Zimbabweans have repeatedly called for the implementation of devolution as spelled out in the constitution, the bill does not deal with the issue.
As the people of Zimbabwe, we all ate our views about the devolution, which we think now they have ignored, but they are talking about the bill. And again, last year we sat as a Matabeleland and we petitioned the government under Public Policy Research Institute about the devolution. They have not responded to the petition about the devolution, but they are talking about the bill. So we are appealing to them to concentrate on the issues that affect people.
Maxwell Menenge, a Binga resident who also attended the recent meeting, echoed similar sentiments, saying the issue of devolution needs to be dealt with urgently as it affects ordinary people in their daily lives.
The bill, as I look at it, does not take into consideration the devolution issue, which all people have been always talking about. I come from Binga myself. We have abundant resources, a huge body of water. Therefore, we need to benefit from that. But honestly speaking, for you to get a fishing license, you need to drive all the way from Binga to Harare to get a license. So that makes it very difficult. And apart from that, it is over $2,000, which common people in Binga cannot afford.
The public hearings on the local government laws amendment bill kicked off in Mtare, Chinoy and Karoi yesterday and will be held in Bulawayo tomorrow. Tisetso Dube of the Local Authority Capacity Enhancement Project said with just one hearing in Bulawayo and none scheduled for other parts of Matabeleland North and South, many Zimbabweans will feel excluded from the process and won't have faith in whatever comes out of the public hearing.
You look at the size of Bulawayo, where you are going to have only one meeting. Bulawayo has 29 wards. And the meeting is in Nkulumane, and not everybody is going to attend that meeting in Nkulumane. There could have been a clustering of two or three wards, so that if due to other commitments I can't attend a meeting in Nkulumane, I know that I can attend a meeting in a country park. Because it's just like a small screen where we are saying we consulted in Bulawayo and these were the outcomes. But is that representative of what the residents, if they consulted wider, were going to say?
According to the bill, the local government minister will have the power to trigger the suspension of any councillor and also select the independent tribunal which presides over the hearing in which the councillor shall be facing charges brought against him or her by the minister. Polo said the bill in its current form vests powers into the minister to be both prosecutor and judge, which he said is in violation of principles of the independence of the tribunal as envisaged in the constitution, as well as the right to a fair hearing.
There is no way this bill is going to be allowed to pass in its original form. I find it very difficult how the Parliamentary Legal Committee, for example, will let it sign when it says that you have no right to appeal, when it criminalizes, a hearing. And certainly some of these things are going to be amended, but the issue is, are those amendments going to be enough? I think they should take this back, the drawing board, and bring back a bill that is comprehensive, that deals with the bread and butter issues that people want to be dealt with, and does not simply deal with the current interests of the minister. His interests may change tomorrow. And what is he going to do? Introduce another bill?
The Local Government Laws Amendment Bill seeks to amend the Rural District Councils Act and the Urban Councils Act in order to align the provisions of the acts with the Constitution. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Two former ministers, Dr. Samuel Mumbengegui and retired Brigadier General Felix Muchemwa, have died. Both had died of unknown ailments. Former Finance Minister Dr. Mumbengegui was currently a lecturer at the Great Zimbabwe University. He died at Avenues Clinic, while retired Brigadier General Muchemwa died in Egypt on Sunday. He was a health minister in President Robert Mugabe's government.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us later today as we discuss Day of the African Child, being observed under the theme Conflict and Crisis in Africa, Protecting All Children's Rights.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
As the world prepares to commemorate International Day of the African Child, advocates are commending young Zimbabweans for utilizing their voice to enhance their rights. The day, marked each year on June 16th, will be observed under the theme Conflict and Crisis in Africa, Protecting All Children's Rights. Some young Zimbabwean movements like hashtag This Flag, Occupy Africa Unity Square Movement, and Tajamuka Sesijigile campaign are pushing forward their discontent over Zimbabwe's current harsh economic environment. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with Makleo Mafumo, Youth Advisor, World Federation of United Nations Associations.
This is actually a landmark day for us as we retrace the challenges that the child, especially the children in Zimbabwe, are facing. That is in terms of ending child marriages. Then other issues that we might also want to highlight, especially on that day, is the increasing number of children on our streets today due to the socioeconomic conditions that are demeaning the lives of the children, especially in Zimbabwe. Then we also look at children who are not able, you know, to afford basic education, and some of the children are also into forced labor. So this is actually a big day for us, where we have to reflect on the challenges that are affecting the children directly in our society.
And this year, Mr. Mafumo, the theme is looking at conflict and crisis in Africa, protecting all children's rights. But in Zimbabwe, over the recent months, we've seen many young people stepping up and telling the government they are not happy. What's your take on young Zimbabweans using their voice?
This is actually a revolution for the children in Zimbabwe, looking at platforms like social media, which have actually given the children of Zimbabwe a voice where they can actually represent themselves. And also, we look at the number of growing civil society organizations that have relevance with children. I can actually say that they have realized the potential that the children have. And if that collective voice continues to be put across issues directly affect children, I think definitely it would make a serious impact.
And that was Makleo Mafumo, Youth Advisor, World Federation of United Nations Associations, on the line with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare. In a related development, Tendai Biti, president of the People's Democratic Party, today visited 11 human rights activists that are in remand prison at Harare Central and Chikurubi Women's Prisons, facing charges of robbing two women in central Harare. They deny the charges. The 11 were part of 15 human rights defenders who were arrested last week on charges of robbing two women. They were part of hundreds of youths who had camped at Africa Unity Square for a 16-day vigil against what they call President Robert Mugabe's dictatorship. Among those he visited today are Linda Masarira, Tatenda Mombeyarara, Pride Mkono, Pamela Mawire, and Makomborero Haruzivishe, Irene Takavada, Shadrack Liwayo, and Brian Kasunzuma. The activists complained about a lack of food as the prison officials were allegedly denying them access to food brought by relatives and friends. Coming up, we will take a closer look at suggestions for Zimbabwe to adopt the rand as its major currency. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. French police have begun the deportation of 29 Russians following violent clashes with England supporters in the early days of the Euro 2016 football tournament. More than 35 people were injured in Marseille last Saturday after British and Russian fans brawled in and around the Stade Velodrome. The U.S. Homeland Security chief called today for new, meaningful, responsible gun control laws in the aftermath of the biggest mass shooting in the country's history, even as authorities collected more information about the life of the shooter, an American-born Muslim believed to have been radicalized by jihadist rhetoric he saw on the internet. And the father of Reeva Steenkamp gave heartbreaking testimony today as Oscar Pistorius' sentencing hearing continued. Barry Steenkamp said his daughter's death devastated him and his family, and that Pistorius needs to pay for his crime. You are listening to your number one radio station, Studio 7, from the Voice of America in Washington. As the shortage of cash in Zimbabwe's financial institutions continues, there's mounting call for the adoption of the South African rand as the major currency instead of the dollar, which is now scarce in banks. During his time as finance minister, Tendai Biti proposed that Zimbabwe should join the rand union, but this was turned down by some partners in the Zimbabwe Unity government. The union, also known as the Common Monetary Area, members are South Africa, Swaziland, Lesotho, and Namibia. The other countries also use their own currency in conjunction with the rand. Bankers, economists, and politicians are calling for Zimbabwe to join the union, but the government is insisting that it will not adopt the rand. It is optimistic that the proposed bond notes scheduled to hit the street in October will solve the cash crisis. Bulawayo businessman Bulisani Ncube tells Studio 7 that the rand is the only solution for easing the cash shortages.
That is the best route which this country can take, given the circumstances it finds itself. And also if the intention is to grow the economy, because the use of the US dollar is, yes, after the demise of the Zimbabwe dollar, it managed to stabilize the economy. But it cannot assist to grow the economy because of the overvalued nature of the US dollar in Zimbabwe. So it leads to goods and services produced in Zimbabwe to become very expensive. That is challenge. But the use of the rand will solve most major problems in this country, including the ability to grow this economy. Because what it means is that if goods and services are produced in Zimbabwe based on the rand, they will be actually competitive in the market compared to goods produced in different countries. To me, that's the best. And I know the authorities are afraid of taking that route because they don't want to subject themselves to the South African monetary authority.
But as it is, the South African rand is one of the currencies that is acceptable legally in Zimbabwe. But why is it that it's not being widely used?
If you go back to 2009, when the multi-currency regime was introduced, fine, you will agree with me that probably the rand was situated in the country second to the US dollar. And it was dominating the southern and western part of Zimbabwe. But the people started to withdraw or to resist the use of the rand due to arbitrage and rent-seeking behavior of Zimbabweans, especially the business people and the shops. When it came to the crossroads, businesses decided to use a higher rate than what would have been obtaining in the market on the particular day in the international market, and leading to the holders of the rand feeling they are losing if they transact in rand. That kind of particular feeling led them to say, okay, fine, before I can go to the shop to buy using my rand, I'll first go around and look for the one who can give me the best exchange rate, and I change my rands into dollars before I transact. And it also led, because those of us who come from South Africa, the diasporans who come to South Africa probably over the major holidays, Easter and Christmas holidays, also felt the same as if they bring in the money in rands in Zimbabwe, they felt they were losing. So the result was that before they actually come here, they now make sure they change in South Africa and come carrying dollars, because that's what it is. So the rent-seeking behavior of all the people, business people involved in everybody else, is the one which forced the holders of the rand to feel cheated. If they had used a fair rate and continued to use a fair rate, the rand would be circulating and circulating even better. But now, if we were to completely replace the dollar with the rand, we've got no problem at all. We will be able to transact successfully. All what we need to do is that shops and other businesses should learn to value or charge their goods and services in rand. That way it will be easy for the rand to circulate.
But do you see this cash shortage going away after the introduction of the bond notes?
Yes, part yes, because what basically would be happening, your bond notes will be circulating in Zimbabwe only, and they cannot be taken outside the country. Let's accept this. At the moment, Zimbabwe is now a haven of international arbitrageurs and rent seekers, in the sense that it is easy to come and open up a little space shop in Bulawayo, sell spares, get your dollars, and put them in a briefcase and take them to Nigeria, take them to China, and take them to wherever you are going, to your country.
And that was Bulawayo businessman Bulisani Ncube. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. An urban planner and innovator, O'Brien Makore, is urging discourse between residents and council authorities to promote a better service delivery. Makore is one of nearly 60 Zimbabwean youths coming to the United States on Thursday to take up entrepreneurship and leadership studies under the Mandela Washington Fellowship. He works with an advocacy group called Development Reality Institute to promote engagement between the Harare City Council and residents. Makore talks to Studio 7 reporter Ntunga Melinkomo.
Oh, I'm feeling so excited. I'm so happy.
Tell us a bit about what you do.
Okay, currently I'm managing a project called Smarter Harare Through Participatory Inclusion, which is operating under a banner called Harare Yangu. The project seeks to promote citizen participation in urban planning and management issues, especially with regard to the issue of economic justice and budget transparency. So what we have done, we have developed a mobile application which enables the residents to follow, share, discuss issues to do with urban planning and management with their local authorities in real time.
And how are people responding to that application and the engagement that you are encouraging?
Oh, people are engaging very well. For For example, the first day we launched it, just after 1 hour, more than 5,000 people have already downloaded the application, and residents have already started to use it. What the application do, it enables the residents, let's take for example, to take a picture, maybe for a desk to swap by, and they can post it and write a comment. Once they do so, the picture is already available to all those residents with application as well as at their local authority so that they can attend to the problem. And also, we'll be frequently posting issues to do with budgets in order to ensure that there is budget transparency and the economic justice in the utilization of the council resources so that the residents will be aware.
And how do you aim to benefit from the Mandela Washington Fellowship? How do you think it will help you?
Firstly, the fellowship will open avenues for networking with other like-minded African youth and also other partners in the U.S., be it in the local government and other countries there. Secondly, it will impart skills, particular technical skills with regard to new technology and how we can use the current modern technologies in trying to promote economic development as well as to promote community development.
And that was O'Brien Makore, a Mandela Washington Fellow and Urban Planner, on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Santunga Milinkomo. And in sports news, the Sports and Recreation Commission has not yet registered the National Football Association of Zimbabwe, or NFAZ, 10 days after it was formed. Reporter Michael Kariachi gives us the story.
The acting Director General of the Sports and Recreation Commission, Joseph Mchechetere, revealed that the Supreme Sports Controlling Body has not yet registered NFAZ, as that is the duty of the SRC board, which has not yet been appointed by the Minister of Sport and Recreation, Makosini Hlongwane.
There's no official position we can give at this stage. The official position can only come when the board has met and made a decision.
The term of the past SRC board expired at the end of last year, and Hlongwane could not be reached to shed light as to when a new board would be put in place. The new football association, NFAZ, was formed on June 4 following the dissolution of the Zimbabwe Football Association in a move orchestrated by former ZIFA president Philip Chiangwa, who now leads NFAZ. Legal expert advocate Louis Ureri, who is also chairman of CAPS United, says although there was nothing wrong with the dissolution of ZIFA, the manner in which it was done had an element of fraud as it was aimed at avoiding paying debts. Renowned sports administrator and former chairman of the Sports and Recreation Commission, David Mtambara, says the ZIFA assembly, which dissolved ZIFA and created NFAZ, should not run away from their financial obligations.
They've got to accept responsibility of ZIFA's obligations.
His views are echoed by former Premier Soccer League Chief Executive Officer Chris Sambo, who asked that the SRC should not register NFAZ as procedure was not followed in the dissolution of ZIFA and the creation of NFAZ.
Section 77 within the ZIFA Constitution clearly stipulates the procedures to be followed. One of which is that whatever assets that ZIFA had, those have got to be surrendered to the Sports and Recreation Commission.
Sambo says he's still surprised that the new football association continues to be operational despite the fact that it has not yet been registered. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
And now to recap today's top stories. Donor aid recipients say Zimbabwean authorities are forcing them to work or pay for food handouts. Zimbabweans express a dissatisfaction over the local government bill giving the minister too much power to fire councillors and city officials. And Zimbabwe prepares to commemorate International Day of the African Child. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.